Thank you for listening in to Group Talk, a monthly conversation designed to wrestle through vital issues in leading small group leaders. Group Talk is hosted by Carolyn Takeda and is a product of the Small Group Network, a network of small group point people that exists to build relationships, share ideas, and help one another become more intentional at accomplishing the tasks God's laid before us. If you like what you hear, we encourage you to visit our website at smallgroupnetwork.com.
Hi, welcome to Group Talk. My name is Carolyn Takeda, and I'm the Executive Director of Small Groups at Calvary Community Church in California. And with me this morning is my guest, Daniel M. He's the Community Life Team Lead at Beulah Alliance Church in Edmonton, Alberta, up there in Canada. So how are you, Daniel?
Oh, fantastic. Thanks for having me, Carolyn.
Well, thanks for joining us. Daniel and I have this in common. We're both Korean, but he's Korean-Canadian, and he was born and raised in Vancouver, Canada, and has since lived and worked in Ottawa, Montreal, South Korea, and Edmonton. You've been in a lot of places.
Well, lots of traveling before kids, I guess.
and you've been now at your current location for 4 years. Mm-hmm. And you've worked in churches ranging from 100 people to 50,000 people in the past 8 years. And currently, your church has about 3,000 or so on weekends?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, Daniel has written quite a bit around mid-sized community, which is a topic of our conversation this morning. And we've titled it, you know, Mid-sized Communities, Is This the Future of Group Life? And I was really intrigued when I heard about this. A while back, actually, I followed Daniel's blog, which is excellent, by the way, and we'll give you the link after our group talk. But I remember reading about it and being really intrigued by the idea that there's almost an alternative, and yet it's a different environment for small group relationship building. But it's kind of similar and kind of different as well. So can you just kind of start off us off with defining what is a mid-sized community and what do you mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when we, the title, Is This the Future, is a little bit of a daunting title.
it was Ben Reed's idea, so the future.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when we think of that, I think a lot of us want a silver bullet, right?
Yes.
We want to solve all the problems of our church and small groups and getting more people connected. And I mean, I don't know about you, Carolyn, but I haven't yet discovered a silver bullet really.
Isn't that why we have you on the program? Aren't you going to give us the silver bullet?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I think when we look at everyone's context, there might be a silver bullet for everyone's context, different one. But I think the key thing is to differentiate, you know, what is that? What is that for your context? You know, when we look at community and having a magic formula for a community, I think it's important that we differentiate between the means and the ends, you know, or the form and the function. So every context that I've pastored in, I've noticed that there's oftentimes a percentage of the congregation that will just not get into a small group, right?
That's true. Even if you do everything and even stand on your head and have leadership buy-in, I think everyone would agree that there are a portion of a congregation that just won't go to a small group.
Oh, totally, right? And then, you know, you read this book, you read that book, you know, you read Ben's new book, too, as well, and, you know, you think, well, you know, what's going to work in my context? And I've tried so many of them, and when I came here in Edmonton, you know, tried all these different models, and there's nothing I could do to get the jaded, you know, the too busy, the consumeristic ones, the ones that are not open. You know, I was so hard to get those people.
Yes.
Right, into small groups. I wanted, you know, I wasn't worried about those people who came from other churches or cities or people in my church who knew and understood the importance of small groups, but I just wanted to get those, right, who were jaded and, you know, who had a false sense of community, or those who were disillusioned. So,
or had
so that's
no
kind
idea.
Of when I thought about mid-sized communities.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you wanted to solve this problem of this unconnected people. And
yeah.
So you landed on a mid-sized community. And so what kind of stumbled you onto that?
Yeah, well, you know what? I through the research that Edward T. Hall did in the 60s, you know, Joseph Myers talked about this in his book, The Search to Belong. He talked about this idea that there are four environments that people get connected in. There's the public space, which is kind of more than 50 people, the social space, that's 20 to 50 people, the personal space, that's 8 to 12, and the intimate space, that's kind of like 1 to 3 people. So when I was looking at my church and the churches that I've been a part of and other ones, you know, I've noticed that churches of over several hundred people have been very intentional with the public space. You know, that's the weekend gathering, right? That's what we know. A lot of churches are intentional with the personal space, which is that small group environment.
Right.
We've even been intentional with the intimate space, you know, either through one-to-one discipleship or accountability groups or, you know, any of those intimate, more intimate accountability types of groups. But
sure.
I just don't feel like as a church, as a whole, we haven't been that intentional with that social space, that 20 to 50 person environment.
Maybe the only time I've seen really social space is more in like a Sunday school classroom or a Bible study class sort of setting. I think that's when you see more of that, but that's a little different because community is not the main primary emphasis for that.
Exactly, exactly. And you know, those things, it's interesting when we look at, you know, how do you create an environment that's scalable? How do you create an environment that's reproducible? And I think that's why there's so much power with the small group model, right? Because they're not hindered by the size of a building or a particular location.
Sure.
So when we look at the attractiveness of a Sunday school model, I think it oftentimes has to do with people being along that spectrum of task versus relationship, right? If they're a little bit more task-oriented, then they're going to want to do some sort of Sunday school environment or a course or, you know, and if they're more relationally inclined, they'd want to oftentimes move towards a small group.
But
right?
The mid-sized community gives you...
environment?
Right.
Yeah, what kind of social environment, you know, that 20 to 50 person environment could you develop that is reproducible, that is scalable? And that's the idea of mid-sized communities.
And I know you have an acronym for this. It's so nifty. I think pastors who go to seminary learn how to do acronyms.
Oh, totally.
And be able to fit the words so that it all works. So it's BELONG, which is perfect. So can you just tell us what each of those things stand for?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, the one-liner of what a mid-sized community, because, you know, I've been kind of talking about it here and there. The one-liner is that, you know, it's a new way to think about community. It's an environment of 20 to 50 people who journey together to celebrate, grow, and be a blessing to those they live, work, and play with. Right? So the acronym BELONG, it starts with B. It's blessing and serving others. You know, in MSCs, their community where blessing and serving one another is normal. For example, one of the members in my MSC, when they got into a car accident, her husband had to go there and be there with her. And since her car was a write-off, it was a bad accident, instead of bringing his two-year-old twins with him in the car, he quickly called up another MSC member, one of many that he could have called, and asked, hey, can you watch my kids? And, you know, that was such a blessing to be able to do that with one another.
Okay, and then the E?
Yeah, the E is extremely welcoming. So it's a community where everyone's welcome, where you can come as you are. You know, so we've had everyone from Muslims to Catholics to seekers to people who've just moved into our city to people who've been coming to our church for 20-plus years and others who've been coming for less than 2 weeks come into a mid-sized community. Oftentimes, out of, you know, the 16-plus that we have, we're always getting new people into our mid-sized community every time they gather.
It seems interesting. It seems like perhaps a mid-sized community would be more less daunting of a place to enter if you are not a Christian, if you aren't a believer yet, if you're a seeker, or if you're from a different faith, because the spotlight's not on you in a group of maybe 6 to 10.
Yeah, and you know, I find it's depending on where someone is in their faith spectrum or their journeying spectrum, right? So some may want to, as their first step, come to a weekend service. And I think a lot of our churches are good with that.
Yeah.
And we have systems for that. And, you know, but what about the person who never even wants to step foot into a church building?
Right.
So.
Do you find that you have people in the MSCs that don't attend on Sunday?
Yeah, we do. And we have some who even go to different churches.
Okay.
Because that's kind of where they're plugged in. But this is an expression of community and of being missional that works really well with them.
Okay. And so the L?
Life together. So MSCs are a community where life's not lived in isolation but together. So, I mean, the MSC gathering is not the only time you're going to be seeing one another, right? So, for example, there's this member in our MSC. You know, for a while she has been coming over to my house every Thursday with my wife, and, you know, they kind of take turns watching each other's children, and one goes out and works out, and the other comes back, and then my wife, you know, goes and works out. So it's just a neat way to be living life together.
Okay, so the life together and kind of the serving one another, that you would see in a small group. So that's it's interesting that you can replicate that in a larger context where people are not going to necessarily know each other as well. You almost have to kind of make that a priority.
Yeah, you know, I think for those of us who, you know, understand the importance of small groups, we understand that small groups are not just about that small group gathering.
Sure.
You know, we want there to be life beyond that.
Of course.
And I find, you know, in a successful small group is one where there's great chemistry. But I find that in a mid-sized community, there's greater opportunity for that because there's just so many more people, which increases the likelihood of you actually wanting to get together with someone in the off weeks.
That's true. You know what? That's a great point because we can engineer and intentionally put people together and do all sorts of things and become almost e-harmony for people to plug into small groups.
Yeah.
But there's something about that chemistry you just can't know until they're sitting in that room. And if it's just by sheer numbers, I guess if you have 20 people versus 10, you've doubled your chances of finding someone you're going to click with.
Yeah, exactly.
That's cool. Okay, so in the O?
Open and engaging. So they're a community that's open to everyone, regardless of your beliefs, looks, or habits, where the large group teaching and smaller group discussions are engaging and relevant. So, you know, for example, in our mid-sized community gatherings, there's a lot of topics that can be covered. It really depends on the type of mid-sized community you are. But then also there are smaller groups that can be formed in the off weeks. So oftentimes mid-sized communities will meet every other week, and then smaller groups can form in the off weeks, whether it's the formalized small group that goes through a curriculum, or maybe it's two or three guys getting together at 6 a.m. before work, and they're going to pray with one another. Those are the types of environments that can...
And not everybody is required to do that, right? So some
no.
people can just come to the MSC, and other people that want it can engage more deeply into a smaller segment?
Yeah, because everyone's at a different place, right? And I find that with small groups, you really are capturing, unless your church is like, hey, if you're not in a small group, you can't be a part of our church.
You're a big loser, yeah.
Yeah, right? If your church is like that, then yeah, it's going to work, right?
Okay, that's rare.
Yeah. But if your church isn't like that, then it's kind of like the people who need community, the jaded, the disconnected, those, I find that they will never even step foot into a small group. Yet, with a mid-sized community, they'll step foot into a mid-sized community, but they may not step into a small group within a mid-sized community, but at least they're getting community.
So what percentage
they're in
do you
the
think?
Environment.
Well, right. So what percentage do you think of people in mid-sized communities do engage in that smaller within cluster? Is it half?
Yeah, you know, so with the roughly 600 people that we have in mid-sized communities now, about 1 in 5 are in a formalized small group.
Okay,
formalized meaning
they
track them in our system,
right.
You know, but then ad hoc, you know, even through the conversations you have in all our mid-sized communities, I'm guessing there's probably about 50 to 60% of those in mid-sized communities that will get together beyond the mid-sized community gathering.
Okay. And you're okay with other people just staying in MSC until they feel comfortable, they feel ready to do something more with the smaller cluster? Like, there's no judgment that, okay, if you're in MSC, you've got 6 months and you need to get into a small group within the MSC. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I mean, you know what? My heart is for, I want everyone in the church to be connected beyond the weekend service.
Sure.
Right, and I'll give you an example. There's this one family who, they were a part of a mid-sized community. They were on the email list. They came out once, right? It was this last November that they came out for the first time, and they hadn't come out before. They hadn't come out after that, but they still felt connected to that mid-sized community by being on the email list, by being in relationships with others. And then what happened a month after that is... They actually lost their daughter in a car accident.
Oh, wow.
Them and their family, they all went, but they lost their daughter in a car accident, and this was a Thursday. And then, Friday in the morning, basically, and then Friday we were phoning back and forth and trying to figure out what happened. And the mid-sized community leader, he was in touch, and that night he contacted all of his entire mid-sized community, and their gathering that night, everyone brought double, you know, because oftentimes there's food, so they're cooked double. They prayed for that couple, that family. They wrote cards. The next morning, the leader and I went out together to visit that family, to pray with them, to be with them. And you know what? Like, honestly, that couple, if they were not a part of that mid-sized community, although they only came out once,
mm-hmm.
although they weren't a part of a small
sure.
group, I mean, they are so connected into that mid-sized community now.
Yeah, I mean, that was a huge lifesaver for them, and how great that they had that.
Yeah, because how often do we hear stories of people,
yes.
you know, they call into the church office and they're like, oh, I lost a loved one, or
yeah.
you know, I'm going through this crisis. And you're like, yeah, you want to reach out to them, you want to minister to them.
But you don't know them, yeah.
Yeah, and they're not connected anywhere.
Right, right. That's a great, that's interesting. And I love how the community rallied regardless of whether this person was core, you know, attend all the time, or this person just stopped by once. I love that the level of care is independent on that. And just that's just beautiful.
Yeah, and how much momentum and
yeah.
power is there in the number
it's
of 20 to 50
them.
People, right?
Right. So you bring a lot more to the table when you have that many more people.
Yeah.
How about the N for belong?
You know, it's naturally connecting with one another. So honestly, they're
it's naturally versus artificially engineered.
Yeah, well, you know, come on. Let's be honest. You know, I find MSCs are large enough that you're not the center of attention when you're new, but they're small enough that you're bound to find someone that you connect with.
And so if you're really odd, you kind of have a wider spectrum of people to mesh with.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, and that's where we found that both extroverts and introverts find their place in a mid-sized community. I think, you know, an extrovert thinks of a 20 to 50 person environment and they're like, oh, yeah, that's awesome. I can't wait to be with that. But an introvert's like 20 to 50 people.
That's huge, yeah.
Yeah, but I found that introverts, it's such a neat environment, right? It's such a cocktail party, you know, relaxed type of environment that introverts can get their food. And, you know, with there being food, even the most socially awkward people can be natural, right? Because if you don't know what to say, you just eat.
Sure. That's the beauty of food. And how about the last one, G?
Oh, you know, we had to get the God word in there somehow.
Last
God
but not
word.
Least, God. God is present, and that's the focus.
Yeah.
Now, you talked about, okay, food being a key component of the environment. What are some other, just quickly, what are some other things, just logistically, that happens in MSC? Kind of walk us through an MSC meeting.
Yeah, you know what, there's a regular scheduled gathering. So like I said, every other week, oftentimes the MSC will get together.
And you have them by affinities?
Yeah, they meet either by, they can form around affinity, geography, or cause.
Oh, okay, those are three options, okay.
Yeah, and the neat thing about that is, you know, an affinity MSC would be the one that I lead for young families where you bring your children, it's chaos.
Yes,
right?
Like, well aware of that.
Yeah, like last Friday we had, 22 adults, 30, 40 kids.
Yeah, when you're
five.
Outnumbered, it's not good.
It was chaos, but it was so much fun, right?
Yeah, it's great for the kids. It's great to have multi-generational spaces, which we don't typically have in our churches, so that's great.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's the affinity, there's the geography-oriented one, so like Southwest Edmonton or, you know, what that might be, or there's the cause. Like we have an MSC for social justice, like social justice MSC.
And
we
people
have another
can
one.
Choose... People can just
another
sign
one, sorry,
up
for, you know, like midlife adventurous. So, you know, all of them can form on a different, you know, affinity, geography, or cause. But the really unique thing is, although community is so important, MSCs are this environment where community and mission meet together. So the MSC will get together and gather and form around affinity, geography, or cause. However, when that MSC comes together, that actually then flips and becomes their mission focused. So my MSC, for example, it's formed around the young family's affinity. But as a mission, we then reach out to other young families.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's uniquely linked together that way.
That's great. Okay, so it is a missional community. All right, so they meet every other week. You have food. You take turns bringing food. Talk a little bit about your leadership model.
Yeah, you know, it's led not by one couple or not by one person, but it's led by 3 to 6 people. So the neat thing about the 3 to 6 person leadership team is that it's not like one couple or one person is the leader and everyone else supports them. We've actually had some embassies where that was the case, despite what we told them, that, you know, the leadership team needs to be a co-equal, co-discipling team environment, because everyone, you know, there's no perfect leader, right?
Sure.
But we all have strengths and weaknesses. But despite saying that, we have had some MSCs that are like, you know, they're the leaders and others are supporting them. And those ones have failed, to be honest.
Interesting. And I know you're passionate about this piece of it from talking to you before, about why it's so critical to have the leadership team.
Yeah.
And are these people that they find themselves, or do you, as a church, find partner up people, or how does that work?
Yeah, you know, we have a pretty unique leadership development system for these, where we look at initial, ongoing, you know, practical training. But the idea with the initial training is we've created these 5 filters. You know, how do you find someone who can actually lead a mid-sized community? So the 5 filters are, do they have a missional mindset? Do they have leadership capacity to lead 20 to 50 people? Because the type of person to lead 20
sure.
to 50 is not the
Different.
Same as someone who's going to lead a 10-person group, right?
Sure.
Do they have solid foundation, right? So character, faith, commitment to our church.
Right.
Do they have previous or concurrent experience? And you know what? Honestly, we used to have 4 filters, but what we realized was the 5th one, time, was such an important thing. Right?
That's huge, because it is it's a significant commitment of time.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
are they expected
really
to shepherd all of these people, or do they divide up the people to shepherd? It's when you have 6 people leading together, I would assume they divide up the leadership tasks.
Yeah, you know, the neat thing about our mid-sized community, the leadership teams, is that they're not a committee. Right, so you know acronyms, right? There's great.
There's another one.
Yeah, another one. It's another acronym, and you know, I know it's a bit acronym heavy, but it's a way for us to make this reproducible and scalable for our leaders. So our leadership teams, they stand together. So the acronym STAND, and the reason why we came up with this acronym is just to really help them understand that this is not your typical leadership team.
Mm-hmm.
Because oftentimes we grow up and we think, hey, it's committee, everyone brings what they're best at, you know, everyone kind of has a role, and then, you know, that's how it works. But actually, in the leadership team, everyone, you're not recruited onto the team because you're a good party planner. You're not recruited because you're a good teacher. You're actually recruited because you know, you have that missional mindset, you have that experience, you know, you have that capacity. But once you're on the team, everyone has co-equal responsibility over it. They contribute differently based on their strengths.
Okay.
But the leadership team actually disciples one another. And that's the beauty of this. The leadership team actually becomes that small group that we all long for, the one where life has happened together, where they're discipling one another, where it's not just one person leading the others, but they're doing it together. And out of the health, out of the vibrancy and the vitality that comes from that, it actually then pervades into the mid-sized community.
That makes sense. I mean, they're almost modeling it and living it out for everyone else to see. So that makes a difference. Have you noticed a higher level of success with those people that already knew each other before they connected like this to be a leadership team versus the ones where you guys set them up?
Yeah, you know what? We don't want to set them up because chemistry is so important.
Right.
So
right.
We have 16 mid-sized communities right now, and you know, we've been doing this for a couple of years, and we have about 4 or 5 in the dugout, right? they have the vision, they want to do it, but we're not releasing them. We're actually saying, we're not going to let you lead until you find others you can do this with.
Wow, see, I love that high commitment to that, because that means this is such the foundational piece for the MSC. So would you say the leadership? I mean, this is true about small groups. We know that small groups live and die and grow or don't based on the leadership. And it seems like for the MSCs that would be just as true or even more so.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know what? The idea is I don't want the mid-sized community to be this ministry that I serve.
Hmm.
these are people that I minister to. I wouldn't naturally connect with them otherwise, but this is my, you know, I'm bearing the cross, you know, I'm you know,
your
burden. I'm dying myself and I'm serving them. I don't want it to be like that because it's not natural.
True, right? And people won't do it for long. I mean, they'll
exactly.
burn out. It's not life-giving.
Yeah, it's not life-giving. It's not natural. They'll do it for a year and they'll be done. But what I really want the MSC to be is, hey, I want this to be integrated into your life. I want you to want to hang out with your leadership team. I want you to want to hang out with those in your MSC anyway. Even if you weren't leading it, you would do it.
So. Do you find much floating between people going from one MSC to another? Is there much shopping around, trying one, trying another, or do you guys discourage that?
You know, one of the leadership, one of the, you know, belong attributes is that it's open, right? So
if
you're
float.
Really open, you're yeah. going to be able to go to this one or that one. And that's what we do actually encourage people, to go visit a few until you find the one that you connect with, and then to get connected that way.
Do you ever close them when they get too big?
No, the beauty of, you know, we look at small groups versus mid-sized communities, and what do small groups, what do we want them to do? What do we want successful small groups to do? And I think one of them is to assimilate people, for discipleship to happen, and for multiplication to happen, right?
Right.
And, you know, there's been so many models and books written on small group multiplication. You know what, I pastored in Korea, yeah. You know, I know about that church model. And
that's like small groups on steroids, basically.
Oh, totally, right? And I think we all know the principle of spiritual multiplication. We all
sure.
long for it. We like it. It's good in theory, but no one wants to multiply.
It's yeah, I mean, we have that challenge here. They find that community and they want to stay.
As pastors and church leaders, we want them to multiply, but the average person doesn't want to multiply their small group.
And the MSC kind of helps with that issue.
Yeah, because now you have 20 to 50 people.
Right.
So multiplication, regardless of the size, regardless of small groups or men's size or wherever, multiplication is still painful because it's change, and no one
yes.
likes change.
Isn't that the truth? Yes.
but it doesn't feel like radical surgery because when the mid-sized community multiplies, and there's so many ways that that can happen, and we probably don't have time to get into that,
right.
but when it multiplies, you can actually go with those you most connect with.
Sure. Which is,
you're not
in theory,
be best friends with 50 people, right?
Right. And well, in theory, you would have that with small groups too, but it's much tougher because of the sheer number so small.
Yeah.
I know we only have a few minutes left. Okay, so we talked about... about how great all this is, and I know when you were launching this at your church, you had a little bit of resistance, and I'm sure if you know, some of our listeners are thinking, that sounds really great, it sounds a little bit like a silver bullet, but at least worth investigating and maybe piloting. So
yeah.
What would you say, Daniel, would be the resistance that we might expect, and then how do we overcome that to kind of get us started?
Yeah, you know, I think we all love the idea of church planting because you can start everything afresh.
Yes,
you know,
that's a fantasy.
Exactly. You don't have the naysayers and all that. But, you know, my church is 92 years old, one of the first churches in Edmonton. Out of our church, we've planted over 50 churches.
Wow.
You know, so in the DNA of our church is multiplication. And yet, when I brought about this idea, I mean, we were so ingrained in the small group model. I mean, we even had Bill Donahue come up here years ago before he went around and did a lot of the circuit
sure.
stuff that Willow, he did with Willow. And we were all about small groups.
Wow.
So there was that in our culture.
There's a shift.
It was a huge shift, right? So people are like, it's different. That's not the way we do it. You know, and then other people are like, oh, it's shallow. Or other people are like, oh, it's missional. And, you know, I find that because MSCs are such an inclusive concept, people often latch onto the area that they think the MSCs are the weakest in.
Mm-hmm.
And then they make that the obstacle to doing them.
So how do you overcome the obstacle?
Yeah, you know what, my suggestion is to, on my blog, I list out about 20 steps of what you can do to bring about this change. But my first suggestion, I think the most important thing to do, is to be a great question asker. To ask the leadership in your church, the lay leaders, the key leaders in your church at all levels, ask them these questions, right? So I'm going to list off a few questions here.
Okay.
Are there places where 20 to 50 people can gather and it's big enough that a newcomer won't feel like they're the center of attention, yet small enough that no one will fall through the cracks. It's amazing the type of conversation that will develop from that question. Are there places in your church that are big enough that everyone will find someone to connect with, but small enough that meaningful conversation can take place without it being comfortable? You know, when was our church the best at assimilating people? When did people feel like the church was small enough that we could connect with people? And if you're not at that place right now, what's changed, and how can we create that dynamic without going back to that time of the church?
I guess it's what might be challenging in part might be that if you do go into the MSC, is that going to rob your current small group system in some way? Are you going to be poaching leaders? Is that going to somehow weaken what already is working? I mean, I could see that being part of the risk.
Yeah.
And have you encountered that?
Oh, totally. You know, we have, because we did have a lot of resistance. So I outlined a pretty good process where you could kind of ensure that that doesn't happen.
Okay.
By allowing those small group leaders to feel included, the page on my blog. However, what I did was, you know, by introducing the idea of mid-sized communities, I actually released some of the most struggling small groups.
Oh.
That they wanted community, but they weren't healthy. And they weren't growing, but they were together because they were like, if we're not together, then we're not growing as Christians.
Right.
You know, but I actually released them from that and have given them a new outlet into community. And even, honestly, some of the small groups that went rogue,
uh-huh.
right,
uh-huh.
or
yes,
disbanded
yes.
Because we wanted them to multiply because they were too big, we've
right.
actually now been able to re-engage those types of leaders.
Oh,
they're
interesting.
Strong leaders.
Oh, that's very interesting. So it doesn't have to compete. I mean, it's really a both-and option.
Yeah, it really is, yeah.
Oh, that's great. Well, we are out of time. This is so fascinating. And I remember in our conversation a couple months ago, I was so intrigued by it, and I wanted to try it at our church. And I said, it's the first thing, you know, I should do. And I remember you telling me, take it slow.
Yeah.
Make sure you have the right leaders.
Yeah.
And pilot it, and just start with one and try it out. And I think that's good advice to get started. And I know you're very active on social media. Your blog has tons of great resources, and that's www.danielm.com. We'll post the links to your Twitter and blog and other things along with our conversation. Thank you so much, Daniel, for what you're doing for the kingdom, for supporting the small group network, which you are part of. So it's great that we get to kind of journey together in this adventure. And I know Daniel's going to be available on Facebook for any comments that you might have, that any of our listeners might have, or any questions, or if you want to challenge him, or if you have a silver bullet that you'd like to share with Daniel or myself, we'd love to hear that too. So he'll be hanging out on there for a while, and you can contact him through that or through any of his social media. So thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening in to Group Talk, a monthly conversation designed to wrestle through vital issues in leading small group leaders. If you like what you hear, we encourage you to visit our website at smallgroupnetwork.com.